image of God. Our final text, looking at the exalted Jesus, is another hymn from, it seems, from the early liturgy of the church, and it's the opening verses of the oration or letter to the Hebrews. And we looked at a lot of this last week when we looked at the high priest Jesus. We didn't look at this hymn, and now I'll read it for you. At various times in the past and in many ways, God spoke to our ancestors in the prophets. In these, the last days, he spoke to us in a Son, whom he appointed inheritor of all things, through whom he made the created worlds. You're familiar with that already from tonight? And then he goes on to say, he is the radiant light of God's glory. He, the exalted Jesus, the radiant light of God's glory. God's glory is what? God's glory is God's inner being, like any glory, manifest. Like the glory of a summer's day, or the glory of a bridegroom or a bride on a wedding day. The radiant inner beauty manifested in clothing and expression in every way. Well, when God's glory is God's true being radiantly manifest, and where is it radiating? In the risen Christ. That means in the church. In the risen Christ's activity in the world, making very obvious through the healing and forgiving and inspiring and love-giving and communion that's going on, who God really is and what God designs us to be. Continue. He's the radiant light of God's glory and the impressed seal of his substance. The word for impressed seal in Greek is charakter. We get a word character from it. Just as you put a seal and then press it into the wax, then whatever is on the actual seal then is on the wax. And the wax becomes the perfect expression. So Jesus is the wax image, the human face of God, the character of the very substance of God. And here we get a word that's going to become very important in later theology, the hypostasis. That which stands under, not just the appearances, but the ultimate reality that you come to understand when your intelligence penetrates into something. That's what the hypostasis is. That's what you come to know through understanding. You don't see it with your eyes or ears. You have to penetrate through intelligence to the inner meaning. Well, he is the very character of the being and substance of who God is. Upholding all things by his all-powerful word. Having effected purification from sins, he took his place in heaven at the right hand of the divine majesty, becoming mightier than the angels by as much as the name he has inherited. And we've seen that. The Lord, Yahweh, is more excellent than theirs. I think all of the thoughts there are familiar to you. I'll now conclude tonight by taking you back, as I have in every other case in the risen Christ, to the life of Jesus. While the early church was fascinated by the risen Christ, they never forgot that who he is because of what he was. The risen Christ is the perfect image of God, because of what happened to him in his life on earth, because of what he went through. And I'll now conclude with the letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 27, and a chapter of material here, where Paul talks about the risen Christ as the wisdom of God. But how is the wisdom really seen in this world? Let the text speak for itself. Christ sent me to preach the good news, not in the terms of a wisdom, a Greek wisdom, in which the cross of Christ is emptied of its meaning. That's not the kind of wisdom Paul's preaching. It's not a highfalutin, triumphalist, unrelated kind of beautiful, glamorous thing he's talking about. It's not the kind of wisdom in which the cross of Christ is emptied of its meaning, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it, the cross, is the power of God. While the Jews demand signs, and the Greeks seek what they call wisdom, we are preaching a Christ, a risen Christ, who was crucified. To the Jews a scandal, to the nations folly, but to those who have been chosen, whether Jews or Greeks, a Christ who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. It was due to God that you are in Christ Jesus, who was made our wisdom, who was made our wisdom by God, as well as our justice and our holiness and our redemption. Paul continues, I did not announce the mystery of God to you in words of sublimity, in words of what the Greeks call wisdom. During my stay with you, the only knowledge I claimed to have was about Jesus and about him only as the Christ who had been crucified. We do have a wisdom to offer the mature. It's not a wisdom of this world. It's not, moreover, a wisdom of the rulers of the world who pass away and are brought to nothing. We speak of God in mystery, a hidden mystery, which God before the world began intended to be for our glory, and one which none of the rulers of this world had known, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul, whom we've been studying all night practically, beautifully entranced by the risen Christ as the image of God, never forgets why he is, why he was made our wisdom, why he was taken in and given the name above every name, why he achieved and was made perfect through suffering. And it's because it was on the cross that the veil was taken away. It was by his fidelity in love that he revealed who God truly is. He's the image of God on the cross. That's where the veil of the temple was torn asunder, on the cross. It's there that the revelation was made, here on earth, where we could see it. Real human stuff, not dreamed up stuff, but real. It was there that the face of God was revealed as the face of Christ, loving unto death, caring unto death, giving unto death. And it's there that the glory of God was revealed. That's the theology of John, it's the theology of the Synoptics, and it's the theology of Paul. The beautiful poetic music of the hymns of the New Testament about the exalted Jesus are always grounded very strongly in the Jesus they remembered and in the lifestyle and love-giving that on the cross. Let me conclude then. So while the New Testament writers, especially in their hymns, drew on the wisdom literature to speak of the exalted Christ as the perfect image of God and the full expression of God's being, they never allow our eyes to be distracted from the Jesus who is God's wisdom, or from what it is about him that makes God's mysterious purpose apparent. Our eyes are focused on Jesus, the suffering servant of Yahweh, exalted via the crucifixion. He is God's final statement to a sinful, broken, distracted world. He's our model and represents the goal to which we're all called. He also represents the only way to that goal. The spread of the Christian community in the early generations after Jesus' death and the power of Jesus' love transforming people's lives encouraged them to dare the journey to their assured homeland with him as they kept their eyes on him, the perfect image of what God intended them to be and the full revelation of God's own being. And now, as a conclusion to the whole of this section on the risen Christ, let me say, our attention in this section has been centered on Jesus, not on who he was during his life on earth, but on who he became in his exalted state after his death. Our aim has been to explore what the early church understood about him in his glorification by reflecting on their own post-crucifixion experiences of him. They experienced his power working in them and through them to bring about the healing and redeeming reign of God. They experienced his Spirit filling their hearts and recreating their world. They spoke of him, therefore, as King, fulfilling in his exalted state all their messianic hopes. This shed further light on his being the Son of God, for now he experienced the fullness of life from the Father. As the Christ, the Anointed One, he exercised the functions of the Davidic king. He was judge. He was priest of the order of Melchizedek. He was Lord. And finally, as we've seen tonight, they saw him as the peak of creation, perfectly expressing God's providential plan for mankind, indeed for the whole of creation. They went to the limits of their language in their attempt to express the wonder of the exalted Jesus and their experience of his presence and power in their lives. This makes it all the more impressive to observe that in each case, the exalted title finds its meaning in the cross. The exalted Jesus is the suffering servant of Yahweh, the Son of Man, the wise and just teacher and prophet, the humble, obedient Son of God whom they had known. He was made Christ, but the having been crucified Christ. He was appointed judge because he was the compassionate Son of Man who knew the truth of God's faithful love, having experienced it himself on the cross. He was acclaimed Son of God in all his power because he was the one who learned to obey through suffering. He was made Lord because he won so many to God through his humble service, a Lord who washed his disciples' feet. He was appointed high priest because having been tempted in every way that we are, he was capable of feeling our weaknesses with us. Remaining sinless, he gave his life for us to bring us into communion with his Father. The fullness of God's wisdom made its abode in him because in offering his life for mankind, he revealed that God is faithful love and revealed also what we can be as made in the image of God. What he became consequent upon his resurrection was therefore intimately connected with what he was and what he did up to and including his death. In the light then of his whole life on earth, and in the light of what the early church experienced of him after his death, we are now ready to turn back and look again at Jesus of Nazareth and ask, who is he? Okay. So the best is yet to come. We are now going to, I feel I've done as best I can with you, both those things. You know, we've tried then to see how do they think of him while he was alive? How did he think of himself as far as we can see? I've done all I can with you on that, and I know. Now we've seen all they thought of him after his death and all that he became and images. Now, in the light of all that, let's go back to the New Testament, look at the evidence and try to see what they said about, well, in view of all that, who is he?